It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Cheers, and welcome back to the show. So glad you could spare a few minutes to spend with us. On the show today, I have the pleasure of having Dr. Richard Kim as my guest. Dr. Kim is the medical director of Hoag Epilepsy Center and is a diplomat of the American Board of Neurological Surgeons. Welcome, Dr. Kim.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We appreciate you taking time to be on the program. The topic today is epilepsy, and you know, we haven't yet had a working definition for people on the street. They really don't know what epilepsy is, so maybe you could help us with a definition.
Yeah, that's a great question, and there's still a lot of stigma attached to the diagnosis of epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
But really, epilepsy just describes the tendency to have seizures. And anyone who has more than one seizure, by definition, has epilepsy.
Okay.
And those seizures can be of many different types. They can be very, very short and almost undetectable, all the way to the generalized convulsion that's called the grand mal seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And the seizures can be caused by a wide variety of different causes in the brain. So it's really, epilepsy is a symptom of some underlying process in the brain rather than a disease by itself.
And of course, it's your charge to find the underlying cause in each patient, right?
That's right.
How many different underlying causes? Are there hundreds? Are there a dozen?
Well, there are probably more than we can count.
Okay.
And we try to classify them, but, you know, nature is not so as neat as we would like it to be.
Right.
There's probably a continuous spectrum of different kinds of disorders, but they can be broadly classified into things that you're born with and things that you acquire in life.
Okay.
So that's one way to think about it. And very often, a person can be born with some malformation of the brain, of which epilepsy is a symptom.
Okay, all right.
And other causes of epilepsy are acquired. For example, a head injury can cause a scar in the brain surface,
mm-hmm.
Which can be irritative, and that causes seizures.
Okay. Anything due to environment or diet?
Well, you know, I get asked that a lot, too, and in modern society, people are really concerned about power lines, toxic waste, chemicals in our diet, and none of those things have really been traced to epilepsy or, you know, the kinds of brain diseases that can cause seizures like brain tumors. So, you know, there are diet modifications that we can recommend for people who've been diagnosed with epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
to try and reduce the seizure frequency. But we don't have specific diet recommendations to reduce the chances of developing epilepsy.
I'd be curious if you could just give us a brief synopsis of what you would say a person who has epilepsy, who has been diagnosed with epilepsy, some of the diet suggestions you might make.
Yeah, there are diet and lifestyle changes. For one thing, we encourage people to keep a regular sleep schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because sleep deprivation can trigger seizures.
Okay.
Things like alcohol and caffeine can also trigger seizures.
Interesting.
They cause the brain to be irritable. So, you know, it's interesting. Any healthy, normal brain is capable of having seizures given the right environment.
Mm-hmm.
Low blood sugar, some imbalance of electrolytes, you know, lots of different things can cause a normal person to have seizures, including these diet and lifestyle things that we talk about.
Okay.
But in somebody who already has epilepsy, they're much more sensitive to developing seizures, and so these lifestyle changes can have a much bigger impact than they would in a normal person.
Okay, so alcohol, what about sugar?
We excessive sugar is not as bad as low blood sugar. So patients who are diabetic, for example,
mm-hmm.
If they try to control their blood sugar too much and their sugar gets low, then they can have a seizure.
Okay.
And so, you know, we encourage our patients not to skip meals, you know, have regular, sensible meals.
Okay. What is a seizure diary?
A seizure diary is a record that the person keeps of their seizures. So they simply record every seizure that they have, the time and date, and what kind of seizure it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you know, you have an actual record of the seizures when you review them with yourself or with your doctor. And that helps to have a real objective way to assess if seizures are changing, and assess, mm-hmm. you know, the effect of any treatments such as new medications or surgeries.
Okay, very good. Is it true that the sooner seizures can be controlled, at least in children, then the better off the patient will be in the long run?
Yes, it is. And, you know, we try not to frighten parents, but this is a well-known effect. It's been shown in animal models of epilepsy, as well as a lot of indirect evidence in human children, that the effects of long-standing multiple seizures are harmful to the brain in several ways.
Okay.
One is that the seizures themselves can set up pathways that become irritable and create new seizures. And so the adage is that seizures beget seizures. And so the seizures become harder to control mm-hmm. Over a period of time.
Almost snowballing.
Exactly. And they it also makes surgical treatment more difficult and less likely to be successful.
Right. So for go ahead. I'm sorry.
Repeated seizures can also have other harmful effects on the brain. It can impair memory and judgment, and you know we can see lower testing scores over time with in children who have lots of daily seizures.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as a surgeon, you mentioned that your goal is the big, large, huge, high bar goal is to stop the seizures 100%. Tell us the procedure you're most excited about at the moment.
Well, there are a number of new high-tech treatments that are being investigated that look very promising. One of them we already talked about is the deep brain stimulator. And another is called responsive neural stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And in this instance, there's a smart computer that's implanted in the patient's body that continuously records the brain waves. And if that computer senses the conditions where a seizure is going to happen, then it delivers a stimulation to that part of the brain to try and stop the seizure from happening.
To interrupt it, yeah.
This is very exciting because only now has the technology been available for a computer to be smart enough and to be small enough to fit inside a person's body to be able to detect a seizure. And it's still in its infancy, but I think that it's going to be a very important treatment in the future.
Is the implant placed in the chest or the brain? Where is it placed?
Right now, there are a lot of different options. There's one option where it can be implanted right under the scalp.
Okay.
And, you know, without too much of a bump or, you know, without it being too noticeable.
Okay. Can you tell us what an aura is?
An aura is a feeling that someone has before a seizure begins. And that aura is created by that part of the brain that's starting to become excitable.
Mm-hmm.
If a seizure is like a forest fire, this is like the spark that starts the fire. And that location of the brain determines what the patient feels. So in the most common kind of aura, in the medial temporal lobe, a patient may feel a sense of deja vu.
Okay.
Or they may smell a bad chemical smell like burning rubber.
Interesting.
Because those are the parts of the brain that control those functions in the medial temporal lobe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that spark may die, there may be no seizure, or more often the aura may signal that a seizure is about to happen. The patient may then... You know, they know a seizure's happening, then they sit down so that they don't hurt themselves, and then just ride out the seizure.
Yeah, or drive to the side of the road if they happen to be driving. Or...
Yes, hopefully they're not, but if they are, then they should pull over.
Okay, so that's a little signal, and then if a person has an implantation device, once they feel the aura, they could physically themselves deliver a larger stimulation to the brain to perhaps interrupt the seizure?
That's right. Theoretically, you know, when these devices are more developed and they're available on the market, there could be ways for patients to have control over their own brain stimulation.
So exciting. We thank you so much for being on the show today, Doctor. We really, really appreciate you taking the time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking today with Dr. Richard Kim, who's been so gracious. He is the director of the Hoag Hospital Epilepsy Center, and we've learned a tremendous amount about epilepsy and treatment options. You can listen to a podcast of this show anytime you like or share it with a friend. It's very important free information you can carry on your MP3 player. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Have yourself a great day.